Thank you. Today we're privileged to have Pastor David Newberry, a household name, and is really a father to this congregation. We're blessed to have him today to come and give us what God has put on his heart for us today. He's been teaching at Rhema, but today he's here to give us the word of God. And I believe God has spoken to him to come and give us the word. So it's my honor and privilege now to invite Pastor David Newberry to come to the front and give us the word of God. Pastor David. I try by all means to carry his Bible. He always refuses. Thank you. Thank you.
Say, this is my day for a miracle. This is my day for God to change my situation. God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And if I can get you to have faith in God, believe His Word, He can change any situation in your life. It is so good to be back. Pastor Walker sends his greetings. I talked with him the other night on the phone, and it was good to hear his voice. Hopefully before I get on the plane this coming, next week, when I finish teaching at the Bible school, then I fly from here to Kuala Lumpur. We have about 850 pastors and delegates that are there for a prayer conference. And we're believing God for a tremendous, tremendous move of God in Asia. And God is laying the foundation for something good. Last year and the year before when I was there in different conferences, we've seen God move mightily. We're seeing God do some tremendous miracles. Last year, about 3.5 hours north of Kuala Lumpur, we were in an Asian community. And there was a woman there that, probably 78 years old, she came in a little white cotton dress with blue print on it, and you could see the bandages and it was on her chest, and the blood was coming out all around the bandages. It was just terrible. She came up for prayer, and the doctors had diagnosed that she was in the last stages of cancer. The cancer had eaten 2/3 of her breast off. Just an open sore, tremendous. I mean, you could smell the cancer even before she came to the front. It was nauseating. But as she was up at the front, we began to pray for her. And in a few moments after prayer, one of the most extraordinary miracles I'd seen in a long time, God put her whole breast back on normally. She was totally, miraculously delivered. And you've got to understand, this is in most of these people, a lot of them were Hindu and Tamil and just different religions. And I had Buddhists, I had all kind of people there. And many, many, many of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when they saw the miracle power of God. And I can say to you, God is a good God. And so I just want to share with you today, and I'm going to talk to you about faith in a few moments. I know we have a limited time in this early service, but I want to say that it's good to be back. I'm excited about the 15th year anniversary. You need to be a part of this. You need to continue with the destiny. I had an interview. We talked quite a while. I'm not sure how much they'll take of that because we talked for an hour and a half of just trying to let them see the dimension of how we started this church, the vision and the scope, the breadth, and the width of it, of what we wanted God to do in this nation and what we're continuing that will happen. For I believe our church is just now getting big enough to start making an impact in this nation. We need to grow beyond anything that this building can hold. I'm talking about where there's not a seat in here, where people are standing on the outside, and we're one or two or three services, and we have to go and build a whole new auditorium and then fill it. Don't look at me that way. You know, when you get a large congregation, the nation has to take note of you. And it's not just to take note of us. We want the devil to know that we're here for business. And so we want you to really put forth this coming year and the remainder of this year that we're going to move into a dimension that this city has never seen this church move in. So I want to preach to you today and ask God to anoint the word, and I want God to help you to dare to ask Him for the impossible. You will never see the impossible if you don't put your faith out for it. So I'm going to talk to you today about believing God for the unusual, believing God for the impossible. And we're going to look over into the Old Testament and find a passage of Scripture in the book of Joshua. We're going to turn to Joshua chapter 10. So if you have a Bible, open it there. And if you don't, hold your hand up like you do have one and people will think you got one. But you really need to bring the Word of God with you, because they can put Scripture up here. But one of the things I have found, and they have found in America and different countries of the world, that where they show all the Scriptures up on the screen, people quit bringing their Bibles, and after a period of time, people don't even know if the Scripture's in the New Testament or the Old Testament. They don't even know how to find anything in their own Bible, and they just quit bringing the Bible altogether. And so putting it up on the screen sometimes has not been a tremendous blessing for a lot of people, because they quit bringing it and studying it for themselves. You need to know God's Word. So I encourage you, bring God's Word with you and study it and learn where the book of Joshua is. It's not in the book of Revelation. So you need to study, and you need to become a part of God's Word, and God's Word become a part of you. I want to take my text out in verse 12, and we're going to see in verse 13 in verse 14. Then spake Joshua unto the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Ammonites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still in Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And when you look at this, it said, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed. A lot of people, and even today, people have looked at this like it's a fairy tale. Like this could not happen. Because of the rotation of the earth, if the earth stood still, the earth would burn up. The Bible didn't say the earth quit rotating. It said that God slowed the sun down to where it stood still, where it stayed in the same spot in the zenith in the heavens. And people look at that and they say, well, how could that be? All I know is we serve a God of the supernatural. He created it all. He has a formula how to undo it, to make it, to speed it up, or to stop it, or whatever he wants to do. He has the power to do it. And people said, well, I just don't know. Well, I want you to pay attention today, because God wants you to stop merely believing that he can do the impossible, but start expecting God to do the impossible. It's one thing to believe that God could do it. It's another to expect it in your life. And so I want you to pray with me as I speak to you today that God is going to anoint your inward man to see that he's capable of anything you ask. God is a God that can do anything, but you must understand our covenant. Anything God says we can have it. Anything he has promised us, we can believe for it. Because if he did not intend for you to have it, he wouldn't have put it in the book. And because it's in the book, you can believe God for it. Let us pray. Father, anoint the word. Let us receive today the truth that you want to bring out in Jesus' mighty name. Let us not only believe, but expect and receive what we need today. In thy name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Some of us have never learned how to live a life beyond the ordinary. Some of us have never learned to live beyond mediocrity. We just go through life, just whatever will be, will be. We go through life not really expecting anything to happen, and usually very little does. But I'm wanting you to understand that there is a life in God beyond the human standards. There is a life in God in the supernatural, to where the supernatural becomes natural. And if the supernatural is not happening, then you wonder what is wrong. And some of us has never really lived in a life of the supernatural. Some of us has never experienced much in the supernatural. Well, this message is for you today, for you to hook in to what the Holy Spirit is wanting me to say to you. For in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it said, "Be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." You're never going to be what you really need to be in God until the Holy Spirit starts strengthening your inner man, your spirit man, to where God will put the Word of God in you, where you'll become strong, you'll become bold, and you'll become a man and woman of faith. But you must understand, the Amplified says it this way, to be strengthened and reinforced. How many's ever seen when they make concrete and they're making a building and they put the concrete down for the slab? They put reinforcement, they put bars, they put things in there to make it strong, to where you can drive an 18-wheel truck on it and it not break apart. We need the enforcement and the steel barbs of the Holy Ghost and our concrete. We need God to strengthen us with reinforcement, with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling in you in the innermost being of your personality. And it goes on to say in the Amplified that you may have power and be strong to apprehend and grasp what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of the Scriptures and the Word. God wants you to be able to grasp and understand fully the breadth, the depth, the height, and the width of the gospel. For you to understand what the promises are about. Verse 19 in the Amplified goes on to say, that you may really come to know and to love Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience. God wants you not just to have knowledge, but not just mere knowledge, but goes beyond knowledge. God wants you to have a know-so salvation where you experience the things of the Lord and not just hear about them. God wants you to be a partaker of His divine nature. God wants you to grow and become strong and become powerful in the mighty things of God. And not just to stay a baby Christian, but where you can believe for the impossible, where you can put your faith out for the miraculous, and where you can have a working knowledge of God because you have revelation of who He is, what He can do. And so we're going to look in the life of Joshua and understand that Joshua was not only a man of faith, but Joshua, even when Moses had gone up on the mountain, Joshua, even when Moses would come down from the mountain, Joshua would stay even up on the mountain in the presence of God. And even when the Holy Spirit would come with and speak unto Moses, and God would come and talk to him, we find that Joshua, even when Moses would leave, he would stay in the tent of meeting and with God. We need men and women that will stay in the presence of God. We need men and women to get in the presence of God, to where we have knowledge of who He is, and we understand His power, And we understand some things about. Because it said, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. The Amplified brings it out that God wants to flood Himself with He wants to flood you with Himself. He wants to put His Spirit within you, where you are the tabernacle of the living God, and He will dwell in you, and you will be His people. Some of us said, well, how can that be? It can't be until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and your inner man is cleansed by His blood and His Spirit comes to dwell in you and we become the tabernacle of God. That is the first baby step of receiving the things of God, is salvation. Then we get a greater measure of the Holy Spirit at the inception of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is only the entrance into the supernatural, to start learning about the different dimensions of the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate. And we start to dig in deeper and we start learning that we can change our destiny through the power and through the promises of God. But see, you must understand something here. When we look at the life of Joshua, we need to go back because the Bible says the Old Testament is written for our learning and for our admonition. God wants you not only to know about Him, but He wants you to experience Him. Experience His power. So when we look at life and Joshua, we look at his life and the And reading the scriptures, we begin to see that Joshua lived a life to where we can see faith beyond the ordinary. All the way through the Old Testament and even into the New, we see life beyond the normal. How God comes in and moves and changes situations. So we're going to look here into this passage of Scripture and try to look at some principles in it so that God can show you that if God could hear the words of a man and cause the sun to stand still and the moon stay in the heavens, God can do something for you. God can work in your behalf. See, too long, charismatic Christianity has marveled at the subject of modern day possibility of miracles and moving beyond the ordinary. We've seen a lot of people read about it, but they haven't experienced it. God did not bring you to Miracle Life Family Church just to hear about something. God has brought you here to experience it, to live a life in the power of His might. Some people hear about the cripples walking, but they've never seen anyone walk. I was just looking at the business card that one of my sons in the gospel on the other side of town over in Chiawama, where I preach Wednesday night. I was preaching on the Grasshopper Complex, a message one time I preached many, many, many years ago in this church when we were back over in the Oasis. God brought that passage of Scripture back to me to minister to them, and as I ministered to them, at the end of the message, I was praying for some people, and I was going to close, and the Lord said, no, there's a person here that's blind in one eye. I want you to bring them forward, and I'm going to heal them. He came up to the front, and I've got a picture of him on my cell phone. I don't know if my daughter's put it on Facebook or not, but we'll stick it up there. But we had a number of miracles in that service. And I just reached out and touched him, started praying, and instantly his eye came open. Not only him, but several others that had eye problems that were partly blind. I had one woman, she was legally blind. She was to go to the doctor this coming week, and they were going to fit her with glasses and whatever. And so she said, would you pray for my eyes? Because she saw this person heal. I said, sure, we'll pray. And all of a sudden, she could see normally. We prayed for other people. We saw a lot of things happen. So what am I saying to you today? God wants to touch your life. God wants to change you. And all too often we come complacent with merely hoping for God to act, but rarely do we believe He will. A lot of Christianity hope that God will do something, but they don't really put their faith out to believe for it. Well, if He shows up, whatever will be, will be. Whatever will be, what you'll believe Him for. I know God is sovereign and He can move beyond if you do something or not. I've seen Him do it. But I've also seen most of the miracles that take place is because we initiate something by our faith and believe His promises. So when you look at this, God wants to push us beyond our comfort zone. What do you mean, beyond my comfort zone? All I have to do is bring someone up here until you come and pray for them. Well, don't ask me to do that, preacher. You know, God doesn't use me. How do you know He won't use you? You'll never know until you start trying to ask Him and believe Him for something beyond what you can do. You don't ask Him to do something you can do, because if you could do it, you don't need Him. The best helping hand you've got is the end of your elbow. Why don't you do something in the supernatural? Why don't you trust God to do something for somebody else? Someone who needs a change in their life. Someone who needs a miracle in their life. Well, what if He doesn't do it? Well, what if He does? God wants to push you beyond your comfort zone. I remember the first time I picked up this wino. And God told me to take him to the church and pray for him. I didn't have a clue what he needed except salvation. And I took him there, and he was praying with me, and I was going through the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't a Sunday, it was during the week. I wasn't even out of high school. And I take this guy to the church, and the church was unlocked. The pastor was back in the study and whatever. I sit here in the auditorium praying for this guy. And all of a sudden, the power of God came on me, and I just reached over and grabbed him by the hands and lifted his hands up in the air. He started shouting. I thought, well, I guess the Holy Spirit came on him or something. I said, well, what are you shouting about? He said, I've been paralyzed and couldn't move my arm for years. And when you grabbed my arm and raised him up, now I can move him. I'm healed. I had no idea what was wrong with him. If I probably would have known, I'd have probably gotten doubt and wouldn't have believed for it. So sometimes God will move beyond your thinking. God will move beyond your level of faith. At that time in my life, I knew God had healed me of polio when I was young. When the doctor said I'd never walk again, my grandmother came in there and poured a can of cooking oil. We didn't have any vegetables. We didn't have any olive oil. She had a 5-liter, and I'm telling you, the doctor was there, the Presbyterian doctor, my kin folks were there. We was having a family reunion, about 150 kin folks. First cousins, second cousins, my dad's family, there were 13 brothers and sisters, and most of them were all there at that house. And here I was, a little kid about 11 years old with polio, and the doctor said in 1952, you'll never walk again. Now, if you're trying to figure out how old I am, I'm 71. But I want you to know, when you're 71 and you can still be traveling the countries of the world and preaching the gospel, you've got something to shout about. I'm trying to get you out of your comfort zone, because when God took my late wife, we prayed her back to life over here in one of the clinics. The doctor saw Jesus raise her from the dead. She'd been dead about an hour. The doctor saw it. The paramedic saw it. The nurses saw Jesus take her by the hand, but she didn't want to stay here. When he came and told me after the heart attack that she had died, he said, what are you going to do? I said, you do what you do, and I'll do what I do. I pray. When you love someone, you don't want to lose them. Some of you know the story. Some of you were there with me that night and stood there outside that clinic because everyone couldn't come in. But I want you to know, after she decided she didn't want to stay and Jesus was going to let her go back to heaven, he took her by the hand. She laid back down on that place where they were working on her, and the doctor saw Jesus disappear, and her heart started beating irregular again. It wasn't long after that, about an hour and a half, She went to be with the Lord. God told me to turn her loose. I didn't want to turn her loose. But some things you can't stop. Some things another person has a will, and she did not want to stay. And sometimes you cannot override someone else's will, even regardless of how much faith you think you have or you pray. Do you understand me? If you don't believe me, you need to come to Bible school and read some of Kenneth E. Hagin's books on prayer and fasting and just different books about the supernatural. You'll learn something. You need to come to Rhema. If nothing else, come to the class that I teach. He said, how come you? Because I'm probably one of the few pastors that you'll ever look at. Because I was born in 7 months with a hole in my heart. And after I was born, 4 pounds, 2 ounces, I died in Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. The doctors pronounced me dead. My grandmother was a medical, you know, she was an RN nurse, a registered nurse. And she was there with me and with the doctors, my mother. She prayed me back to life. She said, devil, you can't have my little grandson. Because God, you showed me he is going to be my little preacher boy. And he is going to travel the world. She loved me too much to give me up. She said, devil, you can't have him. Love can be tough. And we need sometimes when we're standing by a deathbed or we're standing by an almost impossible situation in the natural, we need to put our faith to believe God to cause the sun to stand still, for God to heal, for God to deliver. And brother, she wouldn't let me go. She said, God, you showed this to me. She prayed me back to life. I still had a hole in my heart. I died again. They wrote my death certificate up. They prayed and God brought me back to life again. He said, I don't believe it. Well, burn the records at the hospital. I didn't write them. I didn't sign the death certificate. I was a baby. Because I still had a hole in my heart after the second time of being raised from the dead. There so later I died again. But this time when God raised me from the dead, I was totally healed with a new heart. He said, well, how come all that happened? All I know is that God wanted to show my grandmother and have a record that God can do the impossible. I'm probably the only man you'll stand before that's been dead 3 times that the doctors signed and said he's dead. I don't know why it's happened that way. All I know is that the devil tried to take me out. And sometimes when God is on your side, which he is on your side, the devil sees your destiny and he's going to try to take you out. Because he sees what you will do to his kingdom. We need to have an anointing with God. When we wake up in the morning, the devil say, oh, Lord God, they're up again. We're a threat to the kingdom of God. I want a church in this city to where we can change the city. I don't want this just to be another average church of where people ignore us. I want this church to be so influential that the nation and the city can't ignore Miracle Life Family Church. Why do you think we call this Miracle Life Family Church? Because we want to see God do miracles in your family, in your cousins, in your relatives, all over, for you to live a miracle life of John 3:16, of being born again, walking in a supernatural. And God's going to have to push you out of your comfort zone. So this morning in this sermon, son, stand still. I want you to get a bold vision of what God can do in your life, of what God wants to do in your life, of the supernatural power that he wants to work through you, and how his spirit wants to use you to change people and situations all about you. Every one of us knows someone that needs a miracle. Don't look at me that way. Walk down your street and knock on a few doors and you'll find almost impossible that psychologists don't have the answers. Doctors don't have answers. I remember the story of Mark Hankins. He is talking about how that he was a preacher's son. He talks about, he said, my daddy tried to preach the hell out of me. He got in trouble at school, and the principal, they caned him, and they said they like to beat the hell out of me. He said, I went to jail, and they tried to incarcerate the hell out of me. But he said, I found out that Jesus loved me, and he loved the hell out of me. Now, that may be kind of a crude way to how to say it, but sometimes we need to know a Jesus who can love the hell out of us and change our whole life, and our neighbors need God to change them. It's going to take the supernatural power of God to deliver them. Some of them are full of evil spirits. You're going to have to cast some devils out, if you like it or not, if you're going to get them free. Amen. Cast devils out? I'm doing good. I don't even want to upset him. Oh, bless your darling heart. No wonder God has me preaching this message. He wants you to where you'll resist him, and he will flee from you. You've been running from him. He didn't say to run from him. He said resist him. So we're going to look here and see that when these people, here in the scriptures, it talks about in chapter 10, how the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp of Gilead, saying, slack not thy hand, for thy servants come up quickly to save us and help us from the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains or gathered together against us. Because these guys had surrendered themselves to the nation of Israel. They said, we're not going to fight you, we're just going to surrender. And now these others said, man, these yellow belly cowards, they've surrendered to the enemy. Let's just go whip them. If Joshua didn't kill them, we're going to kill them. So the enemy was moving against them because they had surrendered to Joshua. And when we look at this, it said Joshua ascended from Gilead, he and all the people of war with him and all his mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them unto thy hands. In verse 8, and there shall not be a man of them stand before thee. When God says, no man can stand before you all the days of your life, what God had told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, God meant what he said, and he's backing it up again with affirmation that these people that are coming out to war against you, not one of them will be able to stand against you. That's a pretty good statement. You got to look at this and understand. And I'm telling you, when you look at that, the audacity, when we look at of his faith, and in verse 8 it said, and the Lord said to him, fear not. See, God's wanting us to get brash. He's wanting us to get bold. He's wanting us to have a faith of courage. He's wanting to put some steel in you. And so we look at this, that Joshua therefore came down unto them suddenly. He wasn't afraid to come down. They marched all night. And sometimes to win a victory, we're going to have to march all night in order to surprise the enemy, because he wanted to catch them when they didn't even think he was coming. They marched all night long. He moved his army suddenly, and he discomforted the enemy. And we find here, as they fled from Israel, the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. And we find that the enemy, they died. And there were more which died of the hailstones than they which the children of Israel slew with a sword. See, when you move, God moves. When they started coming against the enemy and fighting, then God got in the middle of the fight in order to speed it up. And when you look at this, evening was coming, because, see, you've got to understand something, even in the New Testament. In Mark 11:23, Jesus talked to him about cursing a fig tree. He's explaining it to them. He's trying to get them to somewhere beyond the natural. We're talking about a fig tree. He cursed it. The next day they came along, find the thing dried up at the roots. And he talks to them, said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. So Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. See, the receiving comes after the believing. I'm going to say it again. The receiving comes after the believing. We said, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You'll never see it. You've got to believe it before you see it. The receiving comes after the believing. Then it materializes. When you look what Joshua did, he spoke and then the sun stood still. He said it in front of all the people. It takes some courage. Are you looking up here? Have you ever seen the sun stand still in your life? Neither have I, neither have you. Not in our generation. At least I haven't seen it happen. Well, some of you have never seen a blind eye open. You've never seen a woman's breast that was eaten off half with three-fourths with cancer put back on. And God recreated it where it's normal. I'm trying to tell you, friend, God can do beyond what you think. Joshua prayed in faith. There's a difference between faith and hope. Hope is not sure. You're not quite, well, he could do it. He might do it. He should do it. I don't know what he'll do. God wants you to get beyond hope and get into faith. Hope looks to the future and faith is now. God wants you to look into the now. I don't need a miracle way out in the future. I need one today. When you're standing by a deathbed, I'm telling you, you don't need a miracle a month from now. You don't have time to just keep messing around because day after day, their life is going from them. And the doctor said they're going to die at any time. They might not even live within the next hour. And if you can't pray the prayer of faith, what are they going to do? If you don't trust God and put your faith out, nothing's going to happen except them die. Unless some God brings someone up there to pray for them. Are you going to be used of God or are you going to have to watch others do it? Joshua shows us faith in action. If you believe, you'll act. The reason a lot of you don't believe is because you don't really think God's going to do anything. You've never really expected God to suddenly work on your behalf. Well, I know he does Benny Hinn. I know he has this one. He did Smith Wigglesworth. Well, Wigglesworth is dead. Oral Roberts is dead. R.W. Schambach is dead. A lot of the people that I knew growing up as a kid, and I used to watch them preach and the miracles that God performed through their ministry. They were for their generation and we're for our generation. Is this city going to have to read in a history book how God used someone? Or are you going to be flowing in the Holy Ghost where he can use you, where they can see God in the now? We need somebody that can show Lasaka, our kinfolks, our neighbors, that God is here in the now to do something in their life. If you will believe God's word, you'll act as if it's true. If you believe, you will act upon the word of God. See, confession is a key that unlocks faith. Joshua began to speak out what he believed out of his mouth. He said, "Son, stand still." How come this man could pray such a prayer? How come this man? I'll tell you, I told you a key to it earlier, how that when Moses went up on the mountain, Joshua went up there with him. He knew God. He had been with the Lord. He had been there. He had seen God on that mountain with Moses. And when God stopped the sun, he accomplished the impossible. Joshua activated an audacious faith where the sun stood still in the heavens. He said, "How can that be? I don't understand it. All I know is back in the early 60s, I started preaching full time in 1965, and after several years, I was preaching over in in Glad Tidings Assembly of God Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. And Brother Lake and his wife attended our church, and their son worked for the NASA space program. And there in the NASA space program, they were trying to figure out, as well as a mere space program of the Russians, the Americans and Russians, and all of them were trying to figure out, how can we bring a space capsule back in the heavens, out in outer space, without it burning up? They would calculate on the computers, but nothing would calculate right. They said, nothing's happening. We don't understand. It seemed like the calculations, we look at the stars, the calculations of the whole universe, and there's just something wrong. They said, "What's wrong?" It said, "Looks like there's about a missing day in space or out there. We don't understand it." He said, "I do." He said, "I went to Sunday school as a little kid. I understand it very well because we read over in the Old Testament how that Joshua asked God for the sun to stand still." And they said, "You got to be kidding me. That's a fairy tale." He said, "Well, let's put it in the computers and find out." They said, well, when did Joshua live? They went and calculated, looked and studied the Bible and looked at it. So they put it in a computer and typed it in. And sure enough, everything began to start coming back into alignment. But they said, there's still something not right. It's not all calculated right. He said, well, I remember another story about Hezekiah. He said, God could make the sundial go forward, but he asked God to make it go backwards. And he said, and he asked God to do it. So they put the calculation of the degrees that it shows about Hezekiah. And all of a sudden, everything lined up perfectly. NASA space program has proven that this Bible is true. It's not a kid's story. They proved it with the history. They proved it in the time setting. And you're sitting me here and telling me, well, I don't believe in miracles. Neither did the Russian space program until they showed them how to do it. And America gave them how to do it. It's history. Go look it up in NASA. Get on Google and Facebook and look it up about Joshua and the sun standing still with NASA space program. Don't argue with me and sit here and call me a liar. Call them a liar. They're the ones that printed it. They're the ones that took the spaceships and got them out in space when you can't even figure out how to clean your fingernails. Oh, God help you. Well, I don't know if I believe the Bible. Well, stay stupid. I'm trying to help you this morning. We have the same spirit of faith. Therefore we believe and therefore speak. God wants you to learn how to use your mouth besides something that's just taking food in. I want you to learn to be able to step out in faith beyond a strength that's beyond your own ability. The spirit and the supernatural empowerment of God. So when he said, son, stand still, I want to try to wrap this up now and help you to understand. In Seattle, Washington, a few years ago, I was in a tent meeting where I had gone from Sweden, from Stockholm, and flew 10 hours and then landed and got into Vancouver and then moved on from there to the airplane to come into Seattle, Washington. I got there, the Russians community had a tent up that seated about 750. And all we had that night was about 500 for a month. That meeting had been going on, not much happening. The next night I was preaching. I prayed for the sick when I got in. I just had a track suit on. I was relaxed in the plane. They were supposed to take me to the hotel and let me sleep. They had me, as soon as I got off the plane, they took me straight to the tent in a track suit and said, you're going to pray for the sick. I said, well, what's wrong with the preacher? Said, well, he didn't have any faith to pray for the sick. I thought, oh my Jesus. Here's a guy they bring halfway around the world to preach in a meeting, and he didn't have the faith as a Pentecostal preacher to pray for the sick. I said, he's not healing them anyway. God's healing them. What's wrong with you people? I'm not the healer. Jesus is a healer. So I began to talk to him. Anyway, I prayed for the sick, and we had some good miracles. The next night, they brought a woman at the end when I quit preaching. They brought a woman up to the front. And this woman was 26 years old and had the brain of a one-year-old child and no voice box, born without a voice box. I've never prayed for anyone like this. Just if I told you, bring one here and say, you pray for them. Mm-mm, not me. Mm. It's not about you. It's about God. Put you. And I said, God, how am I going to hook my faith onto this? He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. I said, yeah, but. He said, quit saying yeah and but. Be quiet and listen. He said, you've prayed for the sick and the deaf and dumb and saw God do things. I said, yeah, I've seen many deaf and dumb people heal. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'll hook on where I can. If she doesn't have a voice box, I don't know if any of them had a voice box or not. I prayed for them. They could talk. He said, well, start praying where you can believe for. Did you hear what God said to me in my spirit? Hook on where you can believe for. So I hooked on to God to start giving this woman a voice box where she could speak, utter something. You can go, make a sound, do something. Just do something because she couldn't utter anything. She had no voice box. I said, God, I'll pray. I did and he did. And God told me once the miracle of her starting to speak comes, then the whole miracle will take place. I says, okay, that sounds good to me. So I start praying for God to do something, and all of a sudden, my friend, I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, that woman talked to me, a woman who had lived in a Russian home, never heard English. She started speaking in West Texas English, how are you? I like to fell over. When sometimes God does a miracle, you're expecting it, but when it happens, it really sets you back. You realize you didn't have much to do with it. God did it. And all of a sudden, if I asked her what an oxymoron was, she could have told me she had the mind of a college graduate. Instantly. She could talk Russian, she could talk English, and she was talking as fluent or better than I was. She comes up in a few minutes, stands over here by me, gets on the platform. She said, I just saw Jesus, and he told me to tell you that I need the Holy Ghost, and I don't know what it is. And I'm trying to pray for all these people in the front. And God said, pray for her. I said, well, I didn't tell them on the day of Pentecost they're going to speak in tongues. Just pray for her. So I reach out and touch her, and she starts speaking in tongues fluently. Now, that upset a lot of the Russians because they believe you got to tarry for 5 years or 20 years, and maybe someday, if you tarry long enough, you'll get it. And I said nothing about tarrying. All I said to her, Jesus said, if you be earthly, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall a heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost that asks for it? That's all I told her. I didn't tell her anything else. And as soon as I touched her, she started speaking in tongues. And now my interpreter, who had cancer himself, of the prostate, and he was dying of cancer, he said, doctors aren't going to touch me if God doesn't heal me. He was making these statements out of his mouth, but he didn't really have the faith in his heart to make it happen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Sometimes people will make bold statements, but yet they're trying to convince themselves they have faith when they really don't. There's nothing wrong with making a statement and making confessions, because if you talk it long enough, you'll school yourself into faith if you speak the promises of God. But he was just making a statement. Instead of quoting the scriptures, he was just making statements. I reached over and I touched him. I said, be healed. And all of a sudden, just bam, the power of God hit him, and he was free of cancer. So when Joshua spoke, the son, however it happened, God made it happen. And I'm trying to tell you, hearing the word of God will initiate your faith and come into you, and God will build faith in you where you can learn to believe and speak God, and you'll have miracles. Now, I want to close today. Working on the word demonstrates your faith. And so when he asked God for the sun to stand still, what was the principle? They were having victory. Even God was sending hailstones and killing a bunch of them. But he was wanting complete victory. And the sun was going down, and the only way, he needed more daylight. He didn't want a victory tomorrow. He wanted victory today. You got to hear what I'm telling you. He didn't want to have to fight this group all over again where they're going to regroup and come against him again. He said, Lord, let's just finish this thing one time and for all. Let's just mop it up and finish the battle. And God, I'm asking you for the sun to stand still. No man had ever asked God for such a thing. He didn't have anywhere to go and look and see if it was scriptural or not. Show me when God told the children of Israel, brought them to the sea. He said, stretch your hand out of the... Well, I don't see that in Scripture. It wasn't in Scripture. It had never been done before. When the three Hebrew children were cast, you know, into the lion's den. Or Daniel was cast in the lion's den. There's no Scripture preference that God's going to stop these mouths, these lions. They believed God. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, our God is able. But if not, be it known unto thee, we will not bow down. You got to have some faith that even if I die, I'm still serving a living God, and he's able to do it anyway. That was their faith. And Brother God took care of them, and the king looked in there in the fiery furnace and saw one like the fourth man of the Son of Man walking in the midst with them. God can do the unusual with people who will dare to believe for the impossible. And some of you hadn't even believed God for a headache. You've got to learn how to put your faith out and take the word of God and believe the promises. Father, we thank you today. We ask in Jesus' name that we're going to learn to ask largely, and we're going to learn to believe you for impossible situations. Just as you parted the Red Sea, just as you gave manna in the desert, just as the walls of Jericho came down, just as God's power was demonstrated to Joshua over and over again, he reached a place in his faith to where he could believe you, that you could even cause the sun to stand still. And Lord, some of us need to see a Jericho. Some of us need to see the waters part. And Lord, faith comes by revelation. Faith comes by watching the power of God move in people's lives. And Father, we pray today, if there's anyone here that needs a miracle, in Jesus' name, I ask right now, let it be done. I was told that in this service, someone has a young child. I don't know what's wrong with the foot. Doesn't matter to me anyway. God's a healer. And I was told that there'll be a child here with a medically impossible in the natural. The doctors want to operate and do something, whatever they're going to do. And if you're here with that child, come forth right now. If you're here and you need a miracle, come forth right now. If you're blind, you're crippled, you're deaf, you're dumb, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you're facing an operation, you got cancer, something impossible. I got 5, 10, 8 minutes left. Those that need to leave in just a moment, we're going to let you go ahead and dismiss so the car parking lot can be emptied out for the next service. But if you're wanting prayer, this is a time to come, not after a while or either stay over the next service where we have all afternoon to pray. But we're not going to pray all afternoon because I'm hungry and I want to go eat. But I do want to say to you, if you're here, the greatest miracle to begin with, to see miracles, to let God save you. The greatest miracle you'll ever experience is a new birth. It changes you from hell's congregation to God. And God wants to save you. He wants to move in your heart. Anyone will raise their hand and say, yes, I need prayer. I need Jesus to come into my life. Hold your hand up high, quickly. Hold it up. Your life is not right with God, and you need Jesus to do a work. There's one lady back over here. Any others? Hold your hand up. There's one, two. How many others in this center? In the center aisle over in this area. Hold your hand up high. Wave at me where I can see it. Don't just sit there and look at me. Hold your hand up if you need Jesus to work in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Any others? I see those two hands that were raised. Anywhere over here, hold it up. Wave at me. Anyone else? And those that raise your hand for salvation, there's another one back over here, another one over here. You that are raising your hand, stand up and come up over here to the front. I want you to meet me right over here on this side. On the left side of this platform, or my right side, but I want you to come over here on the very end, and I'm going to have William Cantamoya or Joseph, Joshua, can you come over here and meet these about salvation and talk with them, either you or William? Stand up, come on, bring your purse with you. I don't want someone grabbing it and running off with it, and you come back to your seat and it's not there. If you're a lady, bring your purse with you. Don't leave it there unless you have a husband or a friend that'll take care of it. If you need Jesus to come into your life, come over here where William Cantamoya. Come down this way. Come over here. There's more than that raise your hand. Come over here by him. Any others? Come. It's one thing to acknowledge you need Jesus. It's another to do something about it. Now, in the next 5 minutes, I do not have time to come down here and find out individually what's wrong with every one of you. All I'm going to do is come by and touch you on the head. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to release my faith with yours. I don't have 5 minutes because we have to move out of here. And if you think you need longer prayer, we'll take you in the back somewhere where someone can pray for you. We'll do something. But right now, because of the two services and the next service, just be courteous enough. It doesn't take God all day long to do a miracle in your life. When I touch you, you believe from that moment that you're receiving. And for these that need salvation, William, whoever they are, whatever, they'll take care of it. Y'all deal with them there. Congregation, stretch your hand out. I'm going to come along here. We're going to anoint them. We're going to believe God to heal them. And God's going to touch you. So get ready. You know what you want from God? If you don't, why are you up here? If you got a headache, you got cancer, whatever it is. If it's somewhere like in your stomach, you got a shoulder that won't move, an ear, whatever. Put your hand if it's not. I don't want to make it, you know, where you're, it's rude, but just put your hand wherever you need a miracle, and we're going to believe God to touch you. Amen. Praise God. Get ready. Congregation, raise your hand. I'm going to come along and pray for these people. All I'm going to do is touch you and pray for you. You're going to get delivered. Jesus. receive right now. Receive in Jesus' name. God, for the miracle in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Now, if you look to me, nothing's going to happen. You look to Jesus. Come on, believe. Focus on Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, receive the miracle in Jesus' name. Be healed. That's it. Receive it right now. In Jesus' name, I receive. 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 In Jesus' name, for this child right now. In Jesus' name. Is this the one that needs the operation? It's not. Will you have to go to a doctor to find out what's wrong with the baby, or will you know? Okay, just check it over in a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's it. Receive it right now. There's the power of God. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, receive. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive. You having pain in your jaw or ear, or what's wrong with you? A lump. God, I curse that thing. God, it's going down. It's going down. I curse it from this hour. Be loose in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Release in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. One, two. One, two. Your ears opening up? You can hear me now? You hearing okay? I love you. Can you hear me? He was deaf and now he's starting to hear. Come on, give God the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive. Receive. God, let this shoulder, this arm be healed right now. That's it. That's it. There it is. There's the power of God. He's healing you. Were you able to move it like that a while ago? Check it now. Is it okay now? Praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. God, I thank You for the healing power. God, be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive right now. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, receive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No more heart condition. No more problem. In Jesus' name, be healed. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Receive right now. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Father, what's wrong with this baby? Why they won't operate? Huh? Okay. She's had two operations. They want to operate again on August the 2nd. We're going to believe God, no operation. Father, in Jesus' name right now, for this child to be totally healed. In Jesus' name, receive it right now. Whew. Will you be able to tell if you took the child over here and looked at her legs? Could you tell if God's done anything? Go over here and check her. Let's all stand together. How many glad you came to church today? Let's make a confession. Just say with me, Lord, I will not live in mediocrity. From this day forth, I'm going to believe You for the unusual, for the power of God to manifest in extraordinary ways, where the supernatural becomes natural. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Any other announcements? Thank you. William?
Thank you. Please be seated for just for a minute.